You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
Do you find it hard to sleep at night? Then the Sleep Cove Podcast can help you. Hi, I'm Christopher Fitton, the voice and clinical hypnotherapist behind Sleep Cove. Sleep Cove features sleep hypnosis, meditations, and bedtime stories, all designed to help those of you who struggle at night to achieve a restful and peaceful night's sleep. Search for Sleep Cove on Apple Podcasts or Spotify and see why Sleep Cove helps millions of people sleep deeply all night long. Do you find it hard to sleep at night? Then the Calm Cove podcast can help you sleep deeply all night long. Calm Cove has deeply relaxing meditation music and ambient sounds, like ocean waves and crackling fires. All of our episodes are designed to help you relax and to fall asleep fast. Calm Cove is brought to you by the team behind Sleep Cove, the sleep podcast that consists of spoken word hypnosis, meditation, and stories. So if you want to listen to a beautiful soundscape tonight, search for Calm Cove on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, and see how we're helping millions of people relax and go to sleep every night.
Feel like who Art Ed?
I'm trying to spice it.
Who Art Ed? Mr. Wood, Art Ed, me.
Yeah. Either way, it's ambiguous. It works on so many levels.
I know.
That's off to a great start.
Welcome to Who Arted, weekly art history for all ages. I'm your host, Kyle Wood, and today I want to once again start with an update on Arts Madness. Voting is almost complete for round three, and I want to just highlight a few things I found interesting. First off, last week we had the closest match I have ever seen. In the past, I've seen matches within like 1% of each other, but that would typically be a margin of a few dozen votes. Last week, Emily Cam Noire beat Keith Haring by a single vote. I did not expect that. But this has been a year of very close matches. The clash between Raphael and Leonardo was another really tight one, with Leonardo only winning by 4 votes. I chose the artists and artworks for this year's tournament based mostly on the AP art history list. In order to get a diverse group, I chose 60 from that list and 4 wildcards based on episodes of Who Arted that got the most downloads. I'm a little surprised that 3 out of 4 of those fan favorites were eliminated within the first 2 rounds. As the field narrows every week, it seems to get increasingly difficult to choose between so many greats, and it looks to me like one of the most famous on the list, who many, many listeners predicted would win it all, is on track to be eliminated this round. Be sure to check the brackets and keep voting for your favorites. The form for round 3 will close on Saturday, and round 4 will be open Monday, March 18th. Now, for today, I wanted to do a fun little story most don't know about one of the most famous artists of the Italian Renaissance. Longtime listeners know I love a good story about art heists, capers, and cons. I've covered Jens Hannings, the artist who was given tens of thousands of dollars to create an art piece and then delivered 2 blank canvases, calling it a new work, take the money and run. For a period, the museum laughed about it as crowds flocked to see the blank canvases that had generated headlines. But ultimately, it ended up in court, and the artist was ordered to pay back all but a few thousand dollars, which he was allowed to keep as basically his fee for showing those blank canvases. Another great and absolutely bonkers story is that of Nat Tate, the artist who never actually existed. He was a fictional character in a book written in the 1990s, and David Bowie convinced a bunch of guests at his dinner party that Nat Tate was real, eventually leading to somebody paying thousands of dollars for work attributed to the fictive artist. I've also done episodes on forgers like Han van Meegeren and Wolfgang Beltracchi. I'll link those in the show notes, probably put together a Spotify playlist of art heists, capers, and cons. But for now, I wanted to share one more quick anecdote about another forger, perhaps the most famous of all, although most people don't know about his forgery. I'm talking about the great Renaissance painter and sculptor, Michelangelo. While his artistic genius is undeniable, his youth was marked by an act that straddled the line between artistic exploration and just calculated deceit. Michelangelo's foray into the world of forgery stemmed from a couple of different factors. I mean, he was born in 1475. This was an era where there was an obsession with classical antiquity throughout the artistic sphere. Patrons craved the prestige associated with owning a piece created in that glorious past of the imagined splendor of ancient Rome and Greece. So during this time, when Michelangelo reached the age of 21, he's super talented and also driven. He had been an apprentice, and he's hungering for that recognition he feels he deserves. Michelangelo finds himself in this unique position. His skills in sculpting were exceptional, so he was among the few who could mimic the style and techniques of ancient Roman masters with remarkable accuracy. And this ability presented a tempting opportunity because those ancient Roman sculptures were extremely valuable, but in limited supply. Michelangelo was among the few who could create works that really could be passed off as genuine antiques. His most notable act of forgery came in the form of a sculpture known as the Sleeping Eros. It was crafted in marble. The statue depicted a youthful god of love sleeping peacefully. To give it the illusion of age, there are different reports. Some say Michelangelo might have used some sort of acidic earth to create an artificial patina. Others claim that the sculpture was buried to mimic the wear and tear of time. Regardless of how he achieved it, it was a somewhat convincing forgery. The meticulously aged, quote, antique was then sold through a network of dealers to Cardinal Raffaele Riario, a renowned collector with a penchant for Roman antiques. Of course, it wasn't too long before the ruse was uncovered. Riario, though, was actually not all that upset upon discovering the truth. Instead, he was astounded by the young artist's exceptional talent and became Michelangelo's first patron in Rome. While today one of the harshest criticisms of an artist would be to call them unoriginal or derivative, historically, artists developed their craft by meticulously studying and recreating works by old masters. The Renaissance was an era of renewed interest in the classics from ancient Greece and Rome. Saying that Michelangelo's work was indistinguishable from the work of previous artists in ancient Rome would have been extremely complimentary. Still, even within that context, there is some moral ambiguity at best. Michelangelo consciously aimed to mislead buyers into believing they were acquiring genuine antiques. I share this story because, well, one, as I said, I love a good caper and con, but also, this story serves as a reminder that even the most celebrated artists were human. They made some questionable choices and sometimes had some unconventional beginnings. His early foray into forgery, though ethically questionable, underscores an immense talent that Michelangelo possessed. A talent that would eventually propel him to the pinnacle of the art world in his day.
This concludes this week's episode of Who Arted, part of the Airwave Media Podcast Network. If you found this tolerable, please leave a rating or review on your favorite podcast app. You can find images of the work being discussed this week and every week on social media at Who Arted Podcast on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok, and of course on the website whoartedpodcast.com. Podcast done.